Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors. Yeah, it's time to hop on the crazy train.
All aboard!
Welcome to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors, presented by Coleman Insect Repellents. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train with the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Well, welcome, folks, to the second hour of power of the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors with your hosts, Danny Bush, and me, Tommy the True Neubauer. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are on two stations, 1250 a.m. and 105.7 FM. So tell your friends, tell them, wake them up early, call them up, say, hey, get up, turn on the radio.
Hey, speaking of.
Yeah. Oh, and 799-1250 is the phone number. You want to make a comment or question? 799-1250. Okay.
I got to say hello to my buddy Bob Hayes in Madison because he might be listening today. He sent me a voicemail. I haven't heard from him in months, but he sent me a voicemail Sunday. He actually listened to our show for the first time.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't wake up and listen to it, but he
did a podcast.
He did the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Said he liked the show a lot.
Okay.
Only part he got a little bored was when we were talking with Al about the wetland thing. He said that went a little long.
Yeah.
That lost him a little bit.
Yeah, a lot
but
of...
But he said he liked it. So, yeah. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, hey, Bob.
What about Bob?
No, we got
it's
we
a
got
good Jaskowski name.
Yeah, we got people calling
Bob
in with comments
Jaskowski.
Or questions.
Well, the phone was ringing during break. Yeah. If you ever call the station and it's not answering, it's because we're...
Somebody, you know, Jazz is busy doing something.
I'm getting coffee, you're having a smoke, and Jazz is doing the update.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, exactly.
There's only three of us.
Yeah, there's only three of us. We're not like those highfalutin shows.
We don't have enough monkeys in here to handle all the bananas.
Yeah,
right?
they don't give, like on the big show or the morning show. They got people filled up in those back rooms, you know, answering phones, doing this,
They let the line ring for 40 minutes, and it's like,
if
they want to talk to us bad enough, they'll just stay on hold forever. Okay.
I got a little upset. I called the Chuck and Winkler show.
Yeah. In the morning?
Yeah, yesterday or the day before, I called them.
What were you calling them?
Well, I'm not going to get too specific, but they were confused on something, and all I wanted to do is just...
Set them straight.
Just tell them what it was, all right? And I didn't want to go on the air.
But people don't want to be set straight,
right.
Tom.
No. I was just... Because they weren't sure, and I was just going to give them the correct answer. All right. Well, anyway... So I called up and I said to the producer, whoever was answering that day, or the intern or whoever, and I said, hey, I said, I don't want to go on the air. I just want to tell the guys that I want to give you some information to tell the guys. And the guy said, and the producer says, I'm sorry, I got other people on the line who want to get on the air, and he hung up on me. And I thought, you know, I took my time to call to help them, and this producer didn't even, you know, wouldn't give me the time of day. So, okay, screw you guys.
Did you tell him I'm Tom Neubauer?
I ain't calling
Nobody again. Hangs up on Tom Neubauer.
By the way, folks, when you hear the ad for River's Edge Bait and Supply in Big Bend, owned by Nikki and Armando, it's on the corner of Edgewood and 164.
Not Edgerton.
Okay, it's right. on the They're corner of there. Edgewood and 164 in Big Bend. Just look for the mobile station. They're right by there. So anyway, I have to make that clarification because Jazz and I are going to cut a new ad today.
Tom, what did I tell you about not sharing what we do off the air?
Why not? Who cares? Who cares?
Never. Because we're always working here.
During the show, after the show, before the show.
Do you remember So What? Who cares? You remember
that?
Years ago, somehow.
Oh, God.
We went for like a whole couple shows where all we'd ever say is, so what? Who cares?
So when someone
would call in and they'd say their name, we'd go, so what? Who cares?
Reminds me of being at a high school basketball game.
And I love
give the starting lineups and then someone comes out, who cares?
Yeah. I love that one, though. Yeah. So what? Who cares? That could be your motto.
Yeah.
You could make a t-shirt that says, so what?
Who cares? Yeah, we should do that.
That'd be a great t-shirt.
Jazz.
I can go by people protesting all over the U.S.
Yeah.
Over whatever issue there is, and I'll walk by with my t-shirt. So what? Who cares?
That's right.
I
should get a t-shirt like that. We should.
Yeah. So what? Who cares? With a picture of a monkey on it.
When we were first doing the show.
What kind of monkey do we want? I think about this.
I would answer the phones.
Rhesus.
Okay. The phone was like right in front of me, and I'd answer the phone. And there were a couple times guys would complain about what we were talking about or whatever, or what we didn't talk about, or remember? And then I would tell the guy, well, if you don't like it, don't listen. There's other stations out there. And I'd hang up on them. And John would get mad if I'd hang up on people.
That's not passive aggressive.
No, that's just aggressive.
Straight aggressive.
It's like, well, if you don't like it, don't listen.
That's simple as that.
On a Saturday morning, you can find a nice decorating show that'll tell you what kind of drapes to buy. You don't want to listen to us. Or a financial show.
Yeah, financial show.
It's
going to
talk about your 401k and fine investments.
Unbelievable. Anyway. But yeah, so I'm just letting you folks know out there, if you don't like what you're listening to,
oh, come on, Tom. Don't be that way. You know, now you're showing the grumpy old man in you. Yes, you are.
I'm just being honest.
Oh, yeah. See, being honest isn't always the best policy.
Yeah, honesty is definitely not the best policy.
Well, lies. Lies are what keep relationships together.
No.
Somebody who says they never lie never had kids. Because when your kids are little 5-year-old Susie, she's singing at the school thing and she's really terrible. And of course, when she comes back,
she was pretty good.
You were wonderful, Susie. You were wonderful. You know, of course,
it's
got a little white
weird.
Lies. You know, little white lies. That's fine. You know, with little kids. Yeah, that's fine. No big deal.
Well, you tell them. How about overt, blatant lies? Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's true. We lie to them about Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny. What's another one?
I don't know.
The
St.
talking
Patrick?
Turkeys. Talking turkeys. No.
Bugs Bunny. What is the other one? There's another one. There's Santa Claus, the rabbit, there's the fat guy in the red suit, and there's the Tooth Fairy.
Oh yeah, the Tooth Fairy.
Speaking of the Tooth Fairy, here's Mike McGivern.
And there goes Mike McGivern.
He's gonna come flip me off again. I know it. He's just telling us we're number one.
Yeah.
Yep. Faith Zone.
Yeah, he's a good matter Christian fact, man. Mike's
you know,
gonna,
I, he's got a great he, show. Sunday.
We are in the
Faith
presence
in
of greatness.
Sunday
yeah,
is a great show.
Mike is going
to
be over
That's
at the Nary Home Improvement Show over at State Fair Park today. That's where he's doing his show from.
Take it back. I didn't flip you off.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Never did.
Thank you, Mike.
He's never.
Okay, who do you got,
Jazz? He was just showing us we were number one.
First of all, we were just in the presence of greatness.
Yeah, Mike McGivern.
Yeah, Mike, big time McGivern.
He keeps this place together. He's hard work. He's here all the time, man.
Yeah, he does.
All right.
But anyways, he's a great basketball coach, too.
Yes.
Who do you got?
We got Mike over in West Bend. Mike, what's going on, man? You're on the show.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
Hey, well, I'm going to go ice fishing the first time for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had heart surgery last October and beat it.
Whoa.
Good
wow.
For you.
Congratulations.
Good for you.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, shout out to Freighter Doctors. You ever in trouble? Go there. I wasn't in trouble. Just went in and had a sharp doctor, and he says, hey, the pain on your right shoulder. I says, yeah, you think that's from shooting my bow? He says, no. Let's go fix this. So they did.
Wow.
Anyways,
yeah. Freighter Doctors are the best. I can speak for that.
Anyways. A lot of guys are going to go to this Wisconsin conservation meetings this year due to that crossbow question.
Yeah.
What I learned the other night, because I got calls from up north, and then I went online and checked, is that the locations of the meetings have changed in several counties.
Okay.
And the word hasn't been out up north, the delegates were getting on the air and putting the spots on. But around here, a lot of guys, like, they think they're going to go to the fairgrounds of Washington County, and it's going to be at the Arboretum Room at who knows where at the University of Wisconsin in Washington Extension.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, I went online. I says, by God, they're right. They changed these locations.
Now, the one
thought I'd give a shout out. Okay. Maybe you can get a WCC guy to actually, you know, get on the air and let guys know.
It's not a bad idea.
Well, we have our friend Al Shook, who is a delegate for them.
Yeah,
in Waukesha County.
I'm sure he can give us the rundown and give us. But that's a good. What date are the hearings?
I believe, and you don't quote me on this, I think it's April 9th.
So we got time to get the word out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't you go to those meetings?
Mike, I got a question for you. I got a question. The question on crossbows. Now, tell us what it is right now.
Well, okay. Now, I'm not going to give you an opinion one way or the other.
Right. Okay. That's
all
right.
That's okay. You can.
I think there's room for everybody.
I'm with you.
I shoot a traditional bow. I don't care what guys shoot.
I've got both.
But what's the question? They want to have a separate season for crossbows?
Here's the question, and it was done by Kaz from Buck Rub Archery.
Okay.
Who I give a lot of credit to since he could make money on crossbows, but he laid it out there as an NRB member, and basically it comes down to this. Do you want, because of the recent uptick in the amount of deer being killed, compound versus vertical bow, do you want the crossbow to have their own season? In other words, they'd shorten up the season within the archery season. Pretty simple question.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened through the years, and no disrespect, I know Al's a great guy, but you get a lot of these WCC guys, I'm 68, but they're old men with old ideas. I mean, the guys vote for something, and they still don't push it through. So I guess the point was that they just the NRB says, I'm going to put a question out there, and it's going to be a simple question. It's not going to be a two-part question. Last year they had a two-part question the WCC put out, and it was one canceled out the other.
It was a little confusing, huh?
It was dumb.
Yeah.
So this one
dumb,
is straightforward.
Like
so if you do not want the crossbow season shortened, I think basically what it is they, get them out of their rut. That's basically what they're coming down to. So,
all right.
If so you don't want it,
so
vote.
You
if you want it, vote.
Are you saying they're pretty much trying to eliminate guys using the crossbow during the rut time? Is that?
Well, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. People are buying a crossbow for one reason. They want to hunt the rut.
Right.
I don't blame a rifle hunter for wanting to do that.
No. I don't
that's
either.
You mean that's just common sense? The DNR put a 3-year study in this. It did not increase hunter participation. It did allow a lot of people to get into the sport that couldn't pull a bow back or don't have the time, stuff like that.
Yep.
So, it's a personal decision, and I don't think anybody's right or anybody's wrong. It's public woods. It's basically, in my opinion, should come down to what's good for the herd, deer management.
Right.
Not what's good for Mike or Tom or anybody else. What's good for the herd?
Right after this break, Mike, we got to go to a break, and Danny and I are going to give our opinion on it.
Yeah, hang on. We'll talk more. It's a good subject.
Thanks for calling, Mike. Appreciate it. Okay, Mike's gone. Well, we're going to go to a break right now, and
good topic.
And Danny will give our opinion on that. Yeah. When we come back here on the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors on 105.7 FM, The Fan. It is now time to
recap.
To crown the winner of this year's NFL football picking contest, brought to you by Curly
Bush, will be his lovely wife,
Josie. Brought to you by Curly's Waterfront Pub on Pewaukee Lake. All right, so go ahead, tell us who won. What happened?
All right, so what an exciting! I wish I was here last week to announce this, but what an exciting Super Bowl game that was, regardless of the picks.
So, who won?
Anyways.
So what? Who cares?
All right. So, it was between the caller
and the producers, and it was a game. It was decided by one game. The caller was ahead 42 and 34. The producers were ahead 42 and 34. The callers were 41 and 35.
Why are we even doing this right now?
Well, we want to find we want to find out who won.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. Just tell us, Jazz.
Our winner was the producers.
All right.
At 44.
Wait a second.
And 35.
Jazz is only was here for a couple
picks. Well, that's why he said producers with an S. Producers.
Well, they're gone. Yes. They don't care.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Well, so who cares?
You think they're... That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm going
to
email Greg and let him know.
Well,
oh boy.
Guess what, fellas?
Send him a chocolate rabbit.
Yeah. Wow. Because the champ is here!
Congratulations to the producers for winning the Curly's Waterfront
Easter
Pub
Bunny Rabbit
football picking contest.
And
all right, and who do you have on the line?
All right, after that nonsense. I got Lynn. She's calling over from Waukesha. She is a hunting safety instructor.
Hey, good morning, Lynn.
Good morning.
Hey. So, what's your thoughts on this?
I don't feel it would be fair to crossbow hunters to shorten their season. I mean, we have little enough time as it is to go out and hunt. And I purchased a crossbow because I weigh 100 pounds, and there is no way I can draw back a bow with enough pound pressure to actually kill a deer.
Okay.
Okay.
And I feel that why should I be
penalized
a season?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm unable to shoot a regular bow.
Well, Lynn, tell me if you agree or disagree.
I agree with Lynn.
Yeah, but tell me if you disagree with Tom. Tell me if you disagree or agree with me on this point of view. I feel like the reason we have a deer hunting season is to kill a deer. We get we can kill one buck and maybe a doe or two or whatever it is, but that's our reason is to harvest deer. So does it really matter what we harvest a deer with, whether it be a crossbow, a longbow, a shotgun, a rifle, a handgun? Does it really matter? You get a license to shoot a deer. So who cares what you shoot it with?
I agree with Tom.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I agree with you.
I think you two guys agree.
It's all part of the conservation. We're controlling the numbers.
Exactly. And let's face it, not everybody's going to get a deer, whether it be a crossbow or compound bow or a shotgun or a rifle. Not everybody's going to get one, you know? So, but, you know, give people a chance to use what they're comfortable in using. And let's face it, crossbows are awesome.
Well, here's the deal.
They're very accurate.
I have both now. And this year I hunted with both, and I didn't shoot anything with either one. But it was nice having both. And Lynn's right. You think you got 3 months to hunt, and it boils down to a couple of weekends. And then if you get your truck worked on one weekend or weather's bad the other, all of a sudden time can run short. And I think having the option of using either. In a perfect world, I wanted to shoot one early, you know, shoot a doe with my bow and try and get a big buck with the crossbow. I didn't do either. I didn't even get a buck with the rifle this year. But I think having the option to do both is fine. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I think bow hunters over the years, initially, have always been a little bit on the selfish side where they don't want anything infringing on their rut time. In other words, they certainly don't want the gun season to open early, any earlier than it does, because they want that rut time to themselves. Mm-hmm. And they don't want crossbow hunters to have that rut time as well. I think it seems a little bit snobbish.
Yeah, I do too.
It's a little snobbish, and I think that if we were limited to one buck, you know, you get a buck, you get a buck. This year, I got nothing. A year ago, I got a buck, and I did get it with my crossbow. But I didn't get anything in gun season.
Right. Well, I wouldn't be adverse to that. But nowadays, people aren't happy if they don't get a buck with their rifle, they don't get a buck with their bow, they don't get a buck with the muzzleloader. If they didn't, it was a bad season.
Right.
Yeah,
I think we're a little spoiled in this state.
Yeah. Well, Lynn, thanks for listening to the show, and thanks for your comments.
Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye now.
And our caller, Mike, mentioned Kaz. You know, Kaz has a great shop, Buck Rub, and they do have crossbows out there. In fact, they helped me set up my crossbow. and mm-hmm. I shot it at the range, at the range time. Fantastic place, and I'm sure he does make money on. In fact, they will match any price on any crossbow or bow. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're so. But I think he's pretty much a purist bow hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I think him and a lot of the guys initially there. But I think if people roll with the times, I think the crossbow will become more and more accepted.
Sure. And as my and by the way, my son Nick said that was good information to that you gave that 1 week, because he's getting a crossbow this summer. It's already purchased for him, but he doesn't need it in Arizona right now. He'll get it when he moves back here. But anyway, and he said that how you said that there'll be
on the package. It'll
on the
say
package
for the broadheads for crossbows.
It'll say yeah, it'll say that. And he says, "Oh, that's good info, because now he knows what to look for."
What to look for? Is he going to buy it when he gets here? Then
he already paid his brother-in-law for it. He took care of that business, you know. But he said, "Don't send it down to me." He says, "I can't use it down here right now." So when he moves back up here this summer, he'll
now is probably a good time to get a good deal on a crossbow or bow up at Midwestern Shooter Supply. They normally have a big rack out there with some really nice high-end bows and crossbows, and they normally haven't been there in a while, but they normally have some pretty good deals.
Yeah, definitely.
Now's the time probably to get one and get it ready rather than waiting till fall.
Yeah.
Probably get a better price now.
Well, so many people wait till that last week before opening of bow season, you know, and it's like, no, they better start in July or something, you know, get ready with the practicing and all that stuff, you know, getting all the equipment ready. Yeah, you got to, you know, start early, you know, so you're not scrambling at the end. Same thing with fishing, too. Start early to get all your stuff ready. Don't wait until the last minute, you know.
Right.
Like, if you need new line, go get it now. Put it on. Get it ready, you know. Do it in March or whenever, you know, but just do it ahead of time. Not that you're scrambling, you know.
Yeah, don't want to scramble.
Mm-mm. Now's a good time. Also, check your rods with the Q-tip, you know, the rod guides. Take a Q-tip and run it around all the inside of the guides, because if you got any little nick on there, that's going to just chew up your line terribly, you know? So,
you know what I hate?
What do you hate, Danny?
I hate it, especially now that rods are 8 feet long. Why do I always do this? I always hit the ceiling with my rod tips. That pisses me off.
Well,
I tell myself,
rods.
Okay, I got this nice $300 rod. I'd be real careful here. And next thing you know, I'm walking from one room to the other. Boink, I bang it into the wall.
Did you bust off a tip?
The only time I busted a tip off was I had this brand new rod and reel, and I was following my dad going up north to, I guess we were going to musky hunt, but it was a spinning rod and reel anyway. I didn't know what I was doing musky fishing. But a bear ran across the road. I was driving my 76 Trans Am, greatest car in the world, and it was going about 70 miles an hour down the road, speeding. And a bear ran across the road. I hit the brakes hard, and unbeknownst to me, this long rod that I had laying across the back of my car, the tip slid outside my window because I had the driver's side window down.
Yeah.
So when I went to wind the window back up with the power window, I heard a snap, and I snapped the tip off on my brand new rod.
Mm. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, just another one of those hazards of. Dad laughed. He thought it was funny when I got to where I was at, and
I snapped
what
a few
happened
tips
to your rod.
Off
my brother
rods.
Laughed at me too.
Yeah,
nothing like a friend laughing at your other buddy's misery. Well, the funniest story. I'll talk about misery. Mark Horton, he might be listening, and Ron Johnson. Bait mate fish attractant Ron Johnson, who's going to be coming up visiting again soon in a couple months. I was just talking to him last week. In fact, he's probably going to be, actually he's fishing with Mark Horton today. They're going for big bass there on
Havasu.
Havasu, I guess.
Havasu.
And the big bluegills haven't started yet, so Gillespie's not going to be coming down yet. But you watch TV on Gillespie's show, you'll see Ron and those bluegills
again. But the bass down south, they're starting to come on beds. They're starting to get ready for spawn,
So anyway, it was 2000, and I and my dad and Ron Johnson and Mark Horton went up to Nungesser Lake, and they were jigging walleyes around one side of the island. We were jigging walleyes on the other, and all of a sudden, it was a real quiet day, and you know how sound carries over water. All of a sudden, I heard a bloop, and then I heard a GD swearing going on. And what happened was Horton had this brand new St. Croix walleye rod, the very one he was bragging about, you know, hey, this is my special deluxe walleye rod, graphite, this and that. And he put it in one of those, you know, those crappy rod holders, those little metal rod holders.
With the little crank on. Yeah,
and they don't screw tight, and they all kind of, all of a sudden they go boom and limp down. Yeah. Well, he had one. Well, he lost the whole rod holder in the same rod in 30 feet of water.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
I lost.
I couldn't help but I lost a rod beating.
Not exactly like that, but I was fishing a bass tournament. It was on the Wolf River.
Yeah.
And I missed a really nice fish, boat side.
Mm-hmm.
And like an idiot, sometimes you do things that you don't mean to do, but it just happens. I took that rod and reel and I flung it as far as I could into the river. And after I did it, I went, why did I do that? I was so upset.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard, Tom.
I was dumb. I even called myself dumb. I said, that is so stupid.
What the hell's going on out here?
It was just dumb. I know. I just was so upset on losing that nice fish.
It's not a golf club.
I know, and I just threw it out in the river, and it's like, oh, God. What a stupid head you were. At least it wasn't one of those real expensive rod and reels like they have nowadays. You know, I mean, it was a decent rod and reel.
Yeah, you can always
buy
another Zebco 33.
That's right. I can always get another Zebco. We'll be right back with more of the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors. Give us a buzz if you'd like, 799-1250. We'll be right back with more. It is now time to continue listening to the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors. You know, sometimes Jazz, and where'd Danny go?
He probably ventured off on.
Yeah, he's out walking around the studio.
He's outside the window right over there. No, he's not.
I don't know where the heck he is.
Hey, you know, so what? Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, so what? Who cares? But, you know, sometimes people, though, you know, they don't like my comments, you know, like I've said before, but at least they know where I'm coming from. Like I said before with the deer hunting, it's kind of like with, like, rabbit hunting. Does it really matter if you shoot the rabbit with a .22, a shotgun, a bow and arrow? I mean, it doesn't really matter. You get so many a day if you want, if you're lucky enough.
Well, if you're looking to get a good meat out of it, probably, you know, shotgun's not going to be your best bet.
No, unless you try to get a headshot. But you can always pick the pellets out. Have you ever bitten into a lead pellet if you're eating like a pheasant or a rabbit or a
squirrel?
Thank God
I haven't.
I've bitten into a few over the years. Generally, you look for them, you can find them and get them out of there. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Boy, I'll tell you what, when we had that warm up there, a lot of that snow melted and made those ice that made the lakes pretty slippery, you know, wet,
right?
Because there was so much water on them, you know. And boy, I'll tell you, I don't know. We only got, you know, when it comes to ice fishing, what do we got? This is middle of February.
I would say probably
about 3 weeks.
I would say, yeah, about 3 weeks.
Yeah, but
maybe four.
Well, they close off the game fish season early. You know, it's usually around March 5th, roughly.
Is that after the first week?
Yeah. Well, they close it early where like the Channies got to be off the lake.
Okay.
And then they close certain game fish. They're closed, but you can still panfish. But, you know, that late ice, you want to be careful. You know, you get, oh, man.
You just want to be careful whenever you're on ice because I slipped and fell. And busted my knee on ice.
Really?
I don't know if you saw me gimping.
I remember. Yeah, when you were there. Yeah.
I tore my meniscus.
Oh, you did? How long ago was that?
This was Friday when I was in Nashville.
You tore your meniscus and you're walking around?
Yep.
Like
no
problem?
No, that's how
you're walking around now.
Yeah, I've got it braced up, but I'm fine. There's nothing you can do with it.
A few years ago, I tore mine, and that first couple days, I couldn't walk. As a matter of fact, it took me about a week before I could. As a matter of fact, that was one of the 2 days that I missed the show here.
Oh, geez.
In almost 10 years, I've only missed two Saturdays.
Yeah, it was day three was the worst. I was dancing my ways through Nashville, and I kind of busted too much of a move and slipped and then busted the knee. And then I came back from home. And got out of the airport, and as I'm walking to my roommate's car, I slipped and fell.
Oh, and that's what did it.
And that's what That's what made it even worse.
Well, you know, when I tore my meniscus, I wasn't even doing anything extraneous. I was just walking, and all of a sudden, she just ripped. Yeah, but I had been feeling pain. It had been getting worse and worse, you know.
Yep.
And then it ripped. But I'll tell you what, the doctor I went to, he was so cool. Dr. Bong, his name was. Dr. Bong.
Bong. Sounds like he does. I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. Actually, he's a relative. He's a relative of General Bong that they named the Bong Recreation Center after.
What a great time for Bush to walk in when we're talking about Bong.
Most famous Bong of all, Kong Bong.
Yeah. So anyway, what happened was when I went to see him, and he's feeling around, and then he took some X-rays and all that, and I said, "Well, do you got to operate, Doc?" And he said, "No." He says, "You tore your meniscus." And I said, "So what's got to be done?" And he says, "At your age, it'll heal itself. Don't worry about it."
What he's saying is it's too old. Why bother operating on an old? It's like an old car, right?
Why bother? He said, "Well, if you were
he should have looked at you and said, old car.
Yeah.
He should have looked at him
it's
and said,
be crap in a year anyway in a junkyard.
Yeah.
You know what going to be dead, Tom.
You know what the doctor should have said?
What?
Looked at him and said, so what?
Who cares?
No, he said, yeah, if you were a teenager, we'd go in there, sew it up. Or if you were a young athlete, you know, we'd sew it up. But he says, at your age, it'll heal itself. And you know what? It did. It healed itself.
Tom, I would be thinking, I think I've just been insulted.
No, not
if
really.
If you were a young athlete.
Not really. Well, I'm not young and I'm not an athlete. So anyway.
All fishing, all hunting, all the time.
We have an email here, Danny. This is from Tony the Bottom Feeder. And Tony says, this is about your Jiffy auger.
Yeah.
Jiffy auger. He said, just make sure you use good gas, LOL.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Just make sure you use
They do recommend, Jiffy does recommend as little ethanol as possible.
Yes.
But I did not bother getting.
You didn't take a ride out there to.
Where do you got to go again for that?
You go out 16 to, what is it? Brown Street. What is that? O? No.
P.
P. Thank you.
That's near Dan Johnson's.
P North.
Yeah.
You go right by Dan's place.
Yeah.
You go right by Dan Johnson's taxidermy studio. You go north, and you get in the town of, is it Ashapin, I think? And you'll see a gas station on the west side of the road, and it says Good Old Gas.
Or okay.
G-O-L apostrophe.
Well, here's,
Good Old Gas.
Here's the thing. I have been using just regular gas that I buy in that auger all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it has the ethanol. Mm-hmm. Haven't really had any problems. I did just stop at the gas station and I took that Jiffy synthetic with the fuel stabilizer. It mixes with 1 gallon and I got a gallon and I put it in the auger. I guess in the future going forward, if I can get that gas. Yeah. But at the moment, and you don't even want to buy the gas and keep it for a year because gas, right? You're not supposed to have old gas sitting in a gas can over a period of time.
No,
can,
if it sits too long, it'll separate on you, and you don't want it separating.
Can't you mix it up?
Yeah. Then
can you
have
shake?
To. Yeah, you got to shake it and mix it up. Yeah, yeah,
really?
Definitely.
So take the old
gas
and
you better shake it
and mix it up.
Otherwise, it does separate. Yeah. See, in cars, you don't have to.
If you shake it up, it'd be okay.
Yeah, see, in cars, you don't have to worry about it because the car is always moving. It's always mixing, So unless it was sitting a long time. So, don't worry about that. We were talking a little bit about. I said to Jazz while you were out, I said, like when I said before about my comment about deer, who cares what you shoot it with? You get a license to go kill an animal. Who cares what you kill it with? It's just like when you're rabbit hunting. Who cares if you shoot them with a .22, a shotgun, or a bow and arrow? Who cares? You use whatever you want to shoot them,
Truth be told, if we're going to get fussy, well, then let's just go back to recurves with no sights and let's do instinctive shooting and let's really make it a challenge.
That's what I started
with.
And that is a challenge.
And no elevated tree stands.
Yeah. Well, like I said, when I first started deer hunting with bows, that's the way it was. It was recurves and it was, you couldn't go up in a tree. Well, you could go up and you could sit on a limb, but you couldn't have any kind of a fixed mount like we have nowadays. So most of it was just, ground blinds or standing behind a tree.
The one deer hunter, all-around hunter that I respect the most was Fred Bear.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy was incredible. Mm-hmm. And nowadays you got these archery experts, deer experts that you see speaking at all the whitetail shows. You got the husband and wife teams, all these experts. And, I think you're as good a whitetail hunter as the private land that you own to be able to shoot those giant whitetails. You want to impress me, get a bunch of hunters together, do it like a muskie tournament where they let them loose on a lake and say, okay, you guys are the hot shots, let's go. Why do you think a lot of the muskie pros don't do tournaments? Because they're expected to be, you know.
They're expected to do well.
Let's take a 20-square mile of the Shequamigan Forest, give them all recurves, tell them to hunt on the ground, and then we'll find out how great a deer hunters they really are.
Yeah, they'll all go after that one deer that's left up there, right? That one
like
deer
I said.
That's up there. You know, there's only one there. Shequamigan. Yeah, they don't have. There ain't a lot of deer up there. Matter of fact, the last number
back,
of years.
They're coming back, though, Tom.
Yeah, they are.
Coming
but,
back. Like on my wealthy estate in Douglas County, the deer are coming back, buddy.
They are?
Oh, yeah, there's deer coming back.
Well, you know why? That's because the DNR are feeding the wolves with all those elk that they're putting up there.
There's a cougar, too. You know, that cougar that was on camera up there is about 5 miles from my from my land in Douglas County.
Yeah.
I'm sure that cougar could be coming through.
Yeah, yeah. Shoot that one, too, when you see it.
Maybe I'll
shoot that one.
You know how I could do it? I could get the biggest female house cat I can find in heat, stake her to a tree. Because let me tell you, those cougars.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a big cat, right?
They say they're male cougars, right? The one up in Washington County now.
Yeah.
It's a male cougar looking for a female, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about it having a collar on it.
I can kind of relate to those male cougars, Tom. Can kind of relate.
Yeah, you and them female cougars.
I've been looking in the wrong places myself.
Because
there are no females.
No, what do they call the when you're your age and then the late women are even older?
Saber tooths,
yes.
I had a saber tooth hitting on me a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I sat down and the clear view of the game was like on the bar stool right next to her.
Mm-hmm.
So she invited me over. And I thought it was just so I'd have the clear view to the game. But then the conversation began, Tom.
I don't even want to hear about it.
I didn't finish the game watching. I left. I got out of there.
I don't even want to hear about it. Oh, good. Jazz is back. Jazz?
Why is he limping?
Because he tore his meniscus.
Is that what you guys were talking about?
Yeah,
I tore my meniscus.
How'd you do that? So, you don't even play football anymore.
He was dancing.
I was dancing the night away in Nashville and...
You were dancing and you hurt yourself?
Yeah.
That's pathetic, man.
Well, we're coaches.
I did a lot of dancing back in the days.
We'll talk about it off the break.
I'd wait till the slow dance and you lean on the girl and you just shuffle in a circle.
Take us to a break.
The end of the night.
I'll tell you about how I met my soon-to-be wife in Nashville.
All right.
Take us to a break.
Take us to a break, Jazz.
You've been listening to the Midwestern Shooter Supply. We'll be back. It's the Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush, along with Tom Neubauer, Jazz Kulski on the board. And Jazz, we got a fishing report from my buddy Dale. Can you put him on there?
I mean, I could.
Hit the button.
I'm hitting buttons.
Hit the button.
Dale, how are you?
Give me a break. I'm hitting buttons. Hi, Dale.
Hey, Dale. I talked to Dale last Sunday, and he was out on the ice on Lake Erie catching walleyes. Limits, I hear. Can you give us a little bit of a report on how you did, size, tactics, anything?
Well, I can tell you all of it. The size range, the big females weren't in yet.
Okay.
I did catch one that was a 25-inch male. That was about 5.5 pounds. So that was a good one. But most of them we caught were 16 to 20 inches.
Okay.
Every day you'd get, you know, one or two that were bigger than that, though.
But what is the limit there now for per person?
This time of year it is 6. It changes.
6.
But this time of year it is 6 fish per person.
Yeah, I heard it. Then it goes up to 8 later on.
Yeah, and there is no possession limit.
Really?
Right. Yeah, you can keep your limit every day.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you guys pretty much limit out every day then?
Every day.
Now let me ask you. Where are you going out? Is you a Port Clinton area? Where exactly is everybody going for them?
Well, we were out of Sandusky, but what we did is I was already 4 miles out in the lake. I took a little plane out to Put-in Bay.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, so we were already 4 miles out, so we would just go off the island then.
Okay.
You took a plane?
Yep, a little 6-seater plane. Yep, it was about an 8 to 10 minute flight.
So there's a guy there that's actually renting to fly people out?
It's $40 each way.
That's a deal, man.
That's cool.
No kidding. So you can get a plane, and then are you staying at like a lodge or a motel then on
See, that's where I got lucky. I got a buddy that rented a house there for the whole walleye fishing season.
Oh, that's smart.
Now, were you using live bait or artificials, Dale?
Live bait. The best bait was the Glow Swedish Pimple.
Yeah.
I mean, I caught them on other stuff there, but like the jig and wrap and stuff like that.
Right.
You'll catch them on that too, but that Swedish Pimple just seemed to be the ticket.
Hmm. Really? The old Swedish Pimple? That's been around forever, Tom.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It has been. Yeah.
My dad had a bunch of old ones in his tackle box years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But you said a Glow? There's a Glow one?
Yeah, it's got a little white stick on it. It was funny because my one buddy that has been living there for now, his sticker, he has caught so many fish, the sticker was gone, and he was still hammering them without the sticker.
Didn't matter. Now, are there different size Swedish Pimples, you guys?
Yep, we did. I could only find five around here, and it was funny because you look on the internet, you can't find the sevens. My buddies were using the sevens. Hmm. But the island, you can't. I couldn't even find them online. Nobody has them. But it's funny because a little gas station on the island has a whole bunch of them.
Really? So the small little overlooked place is the place that has them. The big major places are sold out.
They don't even carry size sevens.
Now, is the seven the bigger one now?
Yep.
Okay. How about?
I was just using the five, which is about, I would say, I don't know, half inch shorter, something like that.
And what do? Do you just lower those to the bottom and just jig them then?
Yep. You put a minnow on there. And, I mean, the minnows were tough to get out there, too. You have to fly them in because normally they catch them early in the season before the ice comes in, and they'll net them. But this year the minnows didn't come in. So normally you have free minnows out of the lake, but this year everybody had to buy them.
How about girls? Are they flying those in too?
No, there weren't too many of those on the island.
It gets a little lonely out there.
How long were you out there for, Dale?
A week.
A whole week? Wow.
Wow.
That's, so you must have brought back a lot of walleye fillets, huh?
Oh, we brought back two coolers full of walleye.
Now, are you guys using electronics to...
Yeah, definitely. You don't... And that's the funny thing, because there's current under the ice. So you put your Vexlar down there. Me and my buddy were fishing out of our shack, so we got our three holes, Vexlar's in the middle.
Right.
A couple mornings, I dropped mine down there. Mine would float. You could see your line was way off to the side, and mine would float off the screen.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then, by noon, it's straight up and down.
Really?
So and a couple times you go out there, and the current's the exact opposite way, and your lure is now in the hole the opposite direction.
Are you using like a flasher Vexlar type thing to spot the schools?
Yeah, you just go down there about 32 feet, and that's the funny thing. You got to attract them. It's not like little jigging, move your wrist. I mean, you got a 2 foot, 3 foot, yank that pole. As soon as you see them on the screen, then you just start reeling.
Wow.
And I can't tell you how many of those fish I caught 5-10 feet below the ice.
Wow.
You just start reeling it up, and they will chase it all the way up, and then all of a sudden your pole just bends.
How deep of water were you fishing?
32 feet.
32 feet. Okay. Boy, that sounds like a great time, Dale.
Yeah, it sure does.
I'd never done it before.
How about anybody jigging Castmasters for them? You know, the spoons?
Yep. They tried some spoons.
Okay, but it sounds like that Swedish Pimple was the route to go. Now, you mentioned you might go back. Are the big females going to be coming in later?
Yep, they're supposed to be. The ice was getting, and their weather's a little warmer here. So, and that's why if you go off the mainland, it's a little more sketchier, and you can't go nearly as much or as far, because when you're out in the islands, that ice is kind of locked in there a little bit. So when you get that southwest wind, it doesn't take off on you right away.
Okay, because I know the walleyes for tomorrow, guys, the Pewaukee gang, they're shooting for the first week of March now.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be ice.
Gotcha. All right, Dale. Well, I'll let you get going. Good talking, and good luck, and I'll swing by for that pack of fillets. I really appreciate it, buddy.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Dale.
Yep.
Well, I had a great time today, Danny. We covered a lot of topics, and I'm sure we'll cover more next week.
Yep. Well, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to the Midwestern Shooter Supply. Don't cut me off. Walleyes for tomorrow, today, Pewaukee, waterfront. Be there. Aloha.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.